Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geeking Out at the Tower podcast. I'm your host, Andrew, and today I'm joined by...
Kevin.
Keith.
Xavier.
Peter.
And today we are just catching up because it's been a while and we've had nothing else to do because at the time of this recording, we're in the middle of a quarantine because there's a pandemic going on globally. This is for austerity and future notes and history and all that kind of stuff. So, how has everyone been keeping up with their lives with this whole COVID situation? No one want to go first?
Very interestingly.
All right, Kevin, tell me what you've been up to with this whole COVID thing.
Oh, well, I mean, I had, since I guess the last time we recorded, I've moved to Ottawa for business reasons. Coincidentally, then the COVID thing happened, and so I've been pretty much isolated here in Ottawa, which is good and bad at the same time. But overall, things that I've been doing at home has just been catching up on some stuff, doing some editing, dealing with my business as much as I can given the circumstances, and just pretty much doing more things at home than I would have even expected, even with a business at home. That's the only thing that I think that's sucked as of lately is that I was already pretty much at home for the most part, and then they were just like, all right, now stay there, and it's like, but it's been a month already, shit. So other than that, doing okay.
All right, Keith?
Well, I'm lucky enough that my job allows me to work from home, so my days have been the same, except instead of going up a flight of stairs to a meeting, I just turn on a webcam.
Awesome.
So basically, my life hasn't changed, except I no longer have to commute anywhere.
All right. Xavier?
Job's out, on unemployment right now. Just waiting for stuff to get to reopen again. For those who don't know, I work at a dealership, so that's kind of like fucking dead for now. And I don't know. It's been really, really, really kind of boring over here in my on my end. You can only play so much video games, read online, and whatever until you get completely numb out of your brain. So yeah, that's about it.
All right, Peter.
Well, first time I've been back on the podcast in, 4 years? So,
I mean, to be fair, the podcast was in a weird space for, like, 4 of those years.
Okay, no problem. I lost my main office job, but I still have my Amazon part-time job, which I still do, like, 20 hours a week. And unlike Keith, I actually have to go to the Amazon warehouse and work there. So it's pretty crazy because we have a lot of orders processing through, and a lot of people are buying TP and bleach. So 1 + 1 = 2.
I guess that's one way of putting it. Yeah.
Can I ask a question about Amazon?
Sure. Go ahead, Keith.
So I got an email saying like all like non-essential orders are going to go slower now.
Yes.
So the people that are ordering 500 packages of toilet paper, is that an essential order?
I think so.
Okay.
Essentially, it's like, essential items, right?
Not, yeah, essential
not so
items.
Not essential orders. So, like, you can order toilet paper and, I guess, hand sanitizer if it's available, but you might not be able to order a bike, a video game, or a vibrator type of thing. So, like, those are not essentials.
No, no, Kevin. Vibrator is category under health, so people are still buying vibrators.
I mean,
wait,
so people are still buying sex toys
at Amazon.
Yeah, you can buy a dildo.
I can't.
Amazon.
I mean, I can't believe.
Look,
I really
I know
actually.
What I'm ordering tonight, boys.
If you can't get, if you can't get the real thing, you have to like make do, right?
I immediately regret making that statement. Oh man, I did not want to hear that.
Like at Amazon, I'm a picker, and last night I picked like no, not last night, but 2 nights ago I picked like at least 5 dildos.
Well, that's news.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I've also, like Peter, been going into work. I work in a somewhat essential field. Not in the goods and services in that regard. But...
I was about to say, you're picking dildos too?
No.
Dildo factory.
I wish.
How many dildos have you touched in the past 5 years?
Go on.
Andrew's been modeling for the dildos.
Oh, you mean they're doing the cast on him? Oof,
guys, no. I don't know. No, we're moving away from this conversation. So, yes.
Blame Kevin.
I've been going into work, though I'm on a reduced schedule. And then I have, like, basically the equivalent of four-day weekends, which I, when you think about it, when you're younger, sounds like the best thing ever. But it's been interesting. But we'll talk about the stuff I've been doing on that when we get to the main topic of the podcast. But otherwise, things have been interesting, I guess is the best way to put it with the new situation. Public transportation is super dead, so like I always get a seat now, and I don't usually have to sit next to people that are disgusting in one shape or another, so that's been great. And I already worked by myself most of the time at work anyway, so it's not like that changed my work situation all that much, so it's been fine. And you know, it allows us to try out new things like this, like podcasting online, which I mean we could have always been doing, but I just think our dynamic works better when we're in person.
Agreed.
No comment.
Oh, Keith, we have but I guess while we're recording this, we should say that we have been, like, news that isn't really geeking around news but is general news, like me and Kevin have been working on getting the YouTube channel actually up and running to some extent, with old episodes being uploaded onto the YouTube. We're cutting out like fun segments, and maybe down the road we might even do bloopers. So that should be hopefully out somewhere not too long after this podcast episode comes out.
Sure, Andrew, I have a quick question. Do you have any Doug Walker outtakes?
We took those out for the YouTubes because reasons.
Reasons.
It's actually one of the things where we're making sure that any of our how do you say it?
Interstitial, but no, just in general, this was all on Kevin. I just didn't care to go through the effort of having to do it, but Kevin took the initiative, so I'm not going to take, how would I put this? Not responsibility. I won't take credit for it. That is all Kevin.
But it's been good. It's been good. We had some audio stuff already that we hadn't used that was made by one of Andrew's friends, and it's not from the files that you have sent.
You haven't gone to the later episodes yet.
Oh, I guess I still gotta go there.
We started using it in like the late 40s or the early or in the 50s.
So. Okay, well then this will be more consistent from intro and outro. It should be simple enough. But I've been having fun just editing it and making sure that we've got the old episodes like pretty much ready to go. I just finished working off of episode 19. Oh man, it's fun to rehear a lot of the topics and the things that we discussed and did. So I think it'll be fun to have on YouTube and have that up and running.
Oh man, so Keith, it's hilarious. So I just was starting to listen to, was it episode 4 I said? Yeah, episode 4 is when, so Keith and Wendell hopped onto the podcast around episode 4, and literally from jump, the first thing that comes out of everybody's mouth is like gold. And I think we cut that out, right? For a soundbite in the future, like release.
Probably.
All I'm hearing is me and Wendell joined the show and all of a sudden it was great.
No, it was good. There was some good stuff. Also, any episode Allie is on is pretty much gold. but I think we're going to release the bites first. One of my favorite bites is going to be released, which is the one where we talk about Wendell watching 50 Shades of Black, which is,
yep.
It is one of the funniest things I think this podcast has ever done.
So did he watch it on his own, or he was coaxed into watching the movie?
Wait.
All I'm going to say is once the bite is out,
go
definitely
to
have
it.
A re-listen.
Go watch
it. It is just amazing.
It is, yeah, it's super worth it. Super, super worth it. So, yeah, and also I was going to say to everybody, I didn't say this at the top of the show, there's going to be varying amounts of audio quality, but if you've been listening to this podcast for long enough, that's just par for the course.
Yeah, I think I'm at 19, doing the editing for 19 now, and like you can tell the difference from like the first one from we're at, and then later on it's going to be even better.
So no, it's really, Kevin, it's fun. Don't lie to them. It's a roller coaster. It is straight up ups and downs, and audio quality from one episode to the next will like vary. Sometimes it's freaking amazing, and sometimes it's just like, oops, I chose the wrong settings, and I don't want to record those 3 hours of my life again.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're right. There's a few that we didn't get yet.
Or there's the ones where we're like 10 people on the podcast and I definitely don't have 10 mics. So we're just using a Yeti mic and Yeti can only do so much. So
no, that's just like episode one.
No, that's episode one. That's the nostalgia episode. That's the Black Panther episode in the 40s.
Yeah, because we were at this, I can't remember the place's name, but I know it was like an apartment in a basement and we had one mic sitting in the middle of the table. And yeah.
It was great stuff. Just the audio sucked. So yeah. Otherwise, things are good. And anything you guys want to bring up before we go into our main topic?
And the XFL had to shut down, which that's a shame. They were on a good streak right away with their first 2-3 weeks, and then they had to shut down, and they're pretty much gone like forever. And second time, and this time it's out of their hands. It was not something they could have predicted. What a shit show.
XFL?
And, yeah, it's football.
Oh.
American football.
NFL, okay.
No,
XFL.
It's an alternate. It's supposed to be, isn't it? This is the guys that are supposed to be like, it's NFL, but harder hitting.
No. That was the first run of the XFL.
Oh.
And the second one is just like, it's different. It's a little bit of different rules, but they're emphasizing like just like a different kind of football, not like harder, edgier, and just like garbage like it was in the early 2000s. Now we're actually onto something, but yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they're not the attitude era.
No, not the attitude era of football.
Well, not anymore anyway. That era passed pretty quickly.
Also, Artemis Fowl is not coming to theaters. It's going straight to Disney Plus.
Which is not bad. I mean, I was gonna go see that in theaters.
Me too.
Because I read that book way back when, like five.
Why would you want to? Why would you give your money to a movie that seems like it's completely disregarding what made this movie, the book, kind of good?
I'm genuinely
worried now that you're just giving your money away to Disney.
I mean, I am.
Pure
I have
brand
Disney
recognition.
Plus.
What the
yeah,
fuck?
Disney Plus.
No, actually, I was just curious to see how they adapted Artemis Fowl. It's the first book of like a million. And if it does poorly,
is it like
not
12 books?
Did they make more? Well, I know they made like at least. I read at least 5 of them, and they don't get progressively.
No, it says here eight novels.
Yeah, I got bored with the series pretty much after the second book, but I kept reading because, yeah, it's an interesting concept. I don't know what they're gonna do with it, but hey, it's going to Disney Plus, so I'll just watch it then, so I don't have to give them any more money. And they moved Onward, which I was gonna wait until Disney Plus anyway, onto Disney Plus recently, and we still don't know what they're doing with New Mutants anymore. That might go straight to Hulu streaming, maybe. That poor movie.
I was waiting for Bloodshot to come out, but that's on demand. So,
but for the most part, yeah. And then I don't know what else is coming out, but they started putting out the X-Men movies on like Disney Plus recently. I noticed.
Yeah.
So
except for the Deadpool movies and Logan.
So. Except for Deadpool and Logan? Yeah, because those are rated R.
Yeah.
Those are probably on like Hulu or something. Who knows?
But we don't have Hulu in Canada, which is a disappointment right
basically,
there.
Basically, no Hulu, no Verve. What you gonna do?
Yeah, watch that get changed very quickly.
I don't know. The reason it's a lot of licensing agreements why Hulu isn't here. And a lot of those stuff gets shown on the streaming apps of whatever Canadian TV, like Global TV or Crave, is sort of...
Crave is shit. I'm sorry, but
probably.
It's shit.
Like, it would probably end up on Crave, if anything.
But I think with everything that's going on with the pandemic, and if this continues on, it's going to set precedence to new norms, and we're going to see a lot of things, especially, like, if you're going to have a lot less people going to the theaters, if you're going to have a lot less people going out because of that, they're going to... they're going to then start building themselves to be more of a streaming services and money coming from there, because where else are you going to get it from? People need entertainment. People can't be bored out of their butts. And it's going to be something that they'll have to adapt to. And it will definitely depend on where we're at with regards to the pandemic and how long is it going to take and what procedures and government rulings that they're going to have moving forward. But for sure that we're going to be seeing a lot of dynamic changes, not just in regards to how like the world is going to react to things, but just the multitude of businesses that are affected in various ways. And I think one of them is going to be moviegoers, how movies are going to be produced and how things are going to be streamed as well.
Well, yeah, obviously that's already started to happen, but I'm like saying Hulu is not coming to Canada because there's already a bunch of different like things with it. It's like why Star Trek Picard or Discovery isn't on like Netflix in Canada, because space or whatever who owns Crave. Oh, okay, it's on Crave. So whoever owns that service, which is like they own basically, or I guess Space is now CTV Sci-Fi, but whoever owns those like channels, they have already taken a whole bunch of those things into account. So like a lot of that stuff is available sort of on like streaming anyway, but like Hulu specifically won't be, just because like, but yeah, that was where more my point was. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, there's already going to be a new norm. I mean, Netflix has like a watch party extension, so you watch Netflix videos at the same time, and lots of little things are being done here and there. So, and now we're doing things like podcasting across the internet. It's not like we weren't doing that; we couldn't do that before.
I think we just have a bit more time for that.
My first podcast was with someone in Kingston and someone in San Francisco. This is nothing for me.
Yeah. So
going back to Xavier's roots.
I mean, yeah. I mean, this is how I did the anime podcast, Recovery of an Anime Junkie, too, for the most part. Half of my episodes were in person. Half of them were just with people online. And then another half of them were just me by myself talking. Do the math. So, anything else before we move on to the main topic?
I don't even know what the main topic is, so go ahead.
So join us in our next segment where we'll be geeking around as the main topic.
Hey, have you ever watched an episode of anime and been confused about what the hell happened?
Honestly, that sounds like every anime I have ever watched.
Well, guess what? At the Nerdum and Other Nonsense Anime Podcast, we have a patented process for deciphering the current hit anime week to week, so even you can understand it.
That's right. We climb into an anime's cockpit, attach handles to its ass, insert ourselves doggy style, and gently explore its inner workings until completion.
Well, guys, this ad just got really weird, so...
There's plenty more innuendo where that came from on iTunes, Google Play, and YouTube at Nerdum and Other Nonsense. Come check us out!
You know you want to, darling.
And we're back, and this is a Geeking Around segment where we talk about things geeky or otherwise going around in the geekosphere. So, who wants to go first? Because I forgot to ask you guys who wanted to go first before we started this segment.
Andrew, go first.
God, all right. So we'll do the round robin style where I read one thing and then, or talk about one thing, and then we'll talk about one thing and we'll like cycle through it, and it's going to be lots of fun. So I've been playing a lot of Animal Crossing recently. This is before FF7 came out, which I'll also be talking about a bit later, but remake. But I've been playing Animal Crossing with a bunch of the group, you know, some of which includes Ali and Dania for former podcasters on here, and also Sabrina, who also podcasts on here from time to time. So we've all been playing Animal Crossing, and it's been a lot of fun. It was the game we needed during this whole quarantine. It is nice. It is relaxing. It is sometimes frustrating when you're trying to time travel, which is, I guess, cheating. But you got to get rid of some of those shitty villagers sometimes, no matter how you got to get through it. But if I could describe this in anime terms, it's basically like if Iyashike was a video game. So it's sort of like soothing and relaxing. And it's just kind of fun to like live vicariously through this stupid game with anthropomorphized animals and very weird, deformed, like... humans, and you know, And for all those people that saying Tom Nook is like this awful person, I mean, he puts you in crippling debt, but then allows you to pay it no matter with no interest for as long as you want. And you can basically sell him grass to start to pay off your debt over time. So, I mean, like, yeah, how is that bad? Thoughts? Anyone else playing Animal Crossing or played Animal Crossing? This is New Horizons, by the way.
No, but I've had a lot of friends who've been telling me about it and how it's been, like, basically one of the best coping mechanisms right now for the pandemic. And everyone's got, like, their own thing. You're seeing a lot of streamers that are also using it as well. And they're doing, like, various different things with it. And it's actually very interesting just the way that other people are playing it as well. And you're like, oh, man, I gotta try that now. So it's pretty good in that regards. But no, I don't... I don't have it, but it's been fun watching streamers and other people play it and interact with like how they do their own thing. So it's been fun on that side.
Sweet. Peter, what is something that you've been geeking out about recently?
I think this is a show that I think we can both geek out together, and that's Beastars.
Oh, you're just stealing one of mine? And you're not even using one of yours?
Well, yeah, it's one of mine as well.
Does not belong to you. Let him talk. Let the man have his moment.
Yes, let's talk about Beastars. I've watched the show on Netflix, season one. It was really entertaining. I'm not really a furry person to watch this show, but it's quite enjoyable.
Xavier, have you seen Beastars?
I've not seen it entirely, but I've been watching it with my date right now whenever she's coming by. So yeah, we're on episode... I think we're about to watch episode 10 next time. Whenever the next time is. But when the next time comes about...
Sooner than later.
We're watching it together, so I'm not going ahead of her or anything. And
yeah,
she's not as
I've
well,
heard
so.
A bit about it, and I haven't started yet, but it's definitely on my radar. Like, next
I knew what it
watch.
Was during the, I can't remember when it came out. Was it fall 2019 or was it winter 2020? I don't remember.
It was fall 2019. It was released on Netflix a couple weeks ago.
No, I know. But what I meant is that during the seasonal marathon we usually do with my friends, the first episode we watched it. And I genuinely thought it was good. Oddly enough, I can say right now I'm not a furry, but oddly enough, there's a lot of stories with anthropomorphic animals I actually quite like. So, for example, the bande dessinée Black Sad is something I really enjoy. I think the aesthetic doesn't bother me. In fact, I think it's kind of cool to some degree, but I get no like other kinks than that for it. It just
no, because if you go on Reddit and type in Beastars, you'll find a lot of
well, I mean, that's for any show, regardless of like quality and stuff. And sure, that will attract a certain audience to a show like this, but I think it's genuinely good. Up until now, I've been really satisfied. What I like is the voice acting in that show. I think, like, I can't remember his name now. That's great. The wolf, main character. I think.
Oh, Legoshi.
Legoshi.
Legoshi. Legoshi.
I think they found like the perfect tone to like for not only his voice actor but like the way he delivers lines, and he's really well written. I really like what they're doing with him so far. So yeah, that's my review on Beastars so far.
So Beastars is one of these interesting shows. Like, I think I gave it a solid. I'm looking at my anime list to see what I gave Beastars, but Beastars is it's interesting because it's very forward about what it's trying to say while also being very obtuse about what it's trying to say at the same time. And it does end on a way that you do have to watch season two in a way. I was having a conversation with a friend, and no spoilers, but I forgot the anime. But you know, like how animes, like, here we go, Kakegurui, right? Another show on Netflix that's an anime that has a second season. It ends more like Kakegurui season two, where it ends with like questions that still need to be answered. Whereas I feel like the first season of Kakegurui ended in a way that you could just stop there. But if you wanted more, there was going to be more. But if there wasn't more, you weren't dissatisfied. I didn't even write the score down. But yeah, I think I gave it like a solid like 7 or 8 out of 10 because good soundtrack. The animation is not my thing, but it's still well done. And that opening is just really good. And I was so pissed every time Netflix skipped it. So yeah. I gave it some good stories. But yeah, the soundtrack is good. The story is sort of interesting. And I don't know how herbivores become fascists. Like, I still don't get that. But okay.
Have you ever met a vegan?
I mean... Oh, good shit. Point. Good point.
Jeez.
The episodes you watched so far are just the tip of what's going to happen in what's happening right now in the manga. It just gets a bit crazy
so
later
I hear.
On.
But there's going to be a second season, so.
Yeah, it's going to come out 2021.
Well, we'll see with this whole thing going on, but yeah.
Let's see if that actually happens.
But for a first-time director, I mean, I think they did a good job with the material, so I liked it.
So would you say this is like a crazy version of Zootopia?
No. It's so weird to explain. Yes.
Maybe.
And no. Zootopia was definitely crazy, but it was for kids. This one definitely tries to explore a few more adult themes.
And it's a shonen manga also, so that's quite interesting.
I find it crazy because like this one's definitely more explicit. But yeah, I mean... So the show tries to talk about essentially somewhat fascism, somewhat interracial, interspecies, interracial mating, and amongst other things. But it's bringing up these topics without actually and exploring them without actually saying too much about it. So it in a way it is crazier than Zootopia, but that's just not the right analogy for it also.
Okay.
But in
fair
a way
enough.
It is, because it's like a carnivore and a herbivore sort of get it, but it's not, it's so weird, but it's good. It's good, like it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. I'll give it that.
I'll be intrigued to watch it and see how it goes, and I'll give you some points later if I feel it's going crazy.
All right, and I'm looking up who did the opening, because the opening is really good and interesting. He did the music for Bakemonogatari. That makes sense. He did
I didn't look it up. That checks out, and that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, well okay, so here's some of the stuff he's done, right? And I'll just go through this quickly. A Channel, Bakemonogatari, Beastars, Captain Earth, Fate Extra Last Encore, High School of the Dead opening, Horror Musico, the interesting the music, sorry. Kanagi, which actually did have a pretty decent soundtrack, and he did the opening, which I love the opening for that show, by the way. A bunch of the Monogatari series. So he did Kizu Monogatari, he did Koyomi Monogatari, Lucky Star theme song. Okay. Yeah, he's done
probably
a lot of
some,
good
probably
stuff.
Probably the composition of that song, I would presume.
He did the music and he did the theme song composition for the OP. So yeah, he did Oremo, he did Star Driver, he did Haruhi. So this guy apparently worked with a lot of KyoAni stuff too. So yeah, it makes sense.
Driver,
now I get
yeah,
why.
Star Driver is a Bones production, but yeah.
No, but I like Suzumiya Haru. Oh no, sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he did Haruhi. Oh, maybe it's just that Haruhi. I don't know. It's good music, and I can see why based on a lot of what he's done. So and he did like the opening song to Working. Yeah, so I can see why the opening to Beastars is as catchy as it is. So, yeah, Beastars! That knocks one off my list. All right, Peter, who do you want to talk next?
I want to talk to or just direct it to someone else?
If you
want
to talk more about Beastars, go about Beastars, or direct it to somebody else to talk about another topic.
Sure, we'll go with Cool Keith.
Cool Keith, who's that?
That's you.
Oh, nice. I guess I'll talk about something that Andrew could also talk about. So let's start with RuPaul's Drag Race Season 12.
Ah, yes, queen!
All right, I'm going to check out for the next half hour. Wake
no,
me
it's
up
not
going
to be that long.
30
it
minutes later.
Even longer.
Ah, yeah.
So,
well, when the show is done, we're going to definitely do an episode on it. So you don't have to be there for that one.
Yeah,
don't have to be there. So, even if you were telling me you have to be there, I'd find a reason not to be.
Jeez. So how's the show?
So when I first saw like the 12 queens on episode 1, I was like, this season's not going to be great. And then these girls like to fight.
Did you purposely omit the 13th queen?
Oh. I mean, the show's doing a pretty good job about that.
Okay, so trigger warnings, just as a for people.
So,
okay.
So at the beginning of the episode, there's trigger warnings, depending on where you watch it.
Yeah.
One of the contestants who's on the show, who's doing really well in the show, is apparently a really horrible person.
Yeah.
And the show found out about it, and they're like, writing her out, but not writing her out, because they already filmed everything.
Yeah.
But, like, all the scenes she's in have been cut to, like, not include her.
Yeah.
How horrible is this person?
Okay. Yeah, what's the controversy? It's pretty bad. It. Okay, so, how would I put this? On the surface, they catfished a ton of people. If you delve in deeper, they basically,
they pretended to be a casting director, had them send them nudes, and then not a casting director.
Oh, I just watched a story. No, it's way worse than that. They got one. Why are you laughing?
Because it's.
No, it's pretty bad. Like,
it's awful.
They got this one. Like,
hey, Xavier's getting involved now.
Xavier's going to watch this season.
I'm just, what I'm hearing, I'm laughing of bafflement that some people do it. Don't.
No, I know. It's just, what? So I would put it this way. So I watched a video last night that explained that not only did this one guy get, like, he got catfish, but also he was master manipulated by this person because they knew him in real life. The other person who recommended them, and that person, she was paying for his for him to do this stuff without like explicitly doing it, and like, oh my god, all the tricks, it was crazy. Like, yeah, at some point he did eventually, he got lucky that she got onto Drag Race, otherwise she could have probably got that going for another few months or more. But it's bad. But anyway, she was disqualified, which is a shame because she's actually really talented, which is really annoying about the whole thing. Anyway.
Yeah, like, she's killing it on the show, the seconds you get to see her. But you also have this warning, like, yeah, it doesn't matter. No matter how many times she keeps winning, she's not winning the show.
So.
Because they film all the, like, challenges months ago, but the finals are supposed to be live. Or close enough to live.
Yeah, we still don't know what they're going to do with that this year because of this whole situation, but...
I think Xavier should watch this because this is like the Chris Benoit of RuPaul Drag Race.
So
doesn't that ruin the show then? Because, like, let's just say she wins the a lot of them, even if it's not the majority of them.
So
doesn't that just skew everyone else's, like where they should be?
Well, because the finals are based off of, like, each week, like, a person gets eliminated.
Yeah.
And then at the end, like, the top four lip sync and do a bunch of things in the finals to show that, like, who the best is.
Yeah, and on top of, like, audience participation and, like, they also check the social media, who do you want to win, and, like, all that is taken into account as well, but yeah.
So the finals will probably be 3 plus the person that was in 5th place, I'm assuming, but I don't know for sure.
Yeah, we'll see about that. I'm not sure.
We don't even know if she makes it that far yet.
We're pretty sure she does, though, based on the statements, because they're scrambling to like kill it. But honestly, but that's just the whole drama that happened literally right after episode 1, right before episode 2 aired. I can't. So where I fall on that, why it doesn't ruin the show? It ruins and it doesn't ruin the show for me, because why it doesn't ruin the show for me is because they do cut her out. Fine, but they do keep it as much intact as possible. They've just re-scripted a bunch of things. And where it does bother me is where they poorly cut her out of the episode. So, like...
There are points in the show where you could hear her talking, but the camera won't be on her.
So it's just a voiceover?
No, yeah, basically.
Oh my gosh.
You could tell, like, originally the scene had her, like, her talking and the camera was on her. And they were filming other people's reactions, and now they just have the reactions while she's doing her, like, stuff.
And
so she's just invisible with a voice.
Ish. The problem is, the more the contest goes on, the harder they can do it. So there's been a lot of weird flubs, like, not this week's episode, which I did see. I don't know if you did, Keith.
I did. This week's episode was weird because, like, I forgot she was even in the episode until, like, the runway.
Yeah. until like, so they cut her out mostly. She still has her part in like the Rusical and she still does her runway, which they cut her out of the runway last week, which was really weird. So like, whoever's editing it or the people they got editing it, there is no consistency with the editing.
I think they got free reign to edit her out, but I think they didn't do a good job of how you're describing it.
No, they aren't, and the problem is she was clearly gonna make it very far in the competition, so the producers, they start like, okay, whatever, and then they're like, oh, we really gonna push this one. So a lot of things are set up around her that they can't really cut out. Right, Keith? Is that, that's, I guess, a good way to describe it?
Yeah. And also, like, it came out to light, like, I think last week or the week before, but, like, the American one that we watch versus the one that's aired in the British have different cuts. Like, she's removed from different scenes from the show.
Yeah. So, oh, like, my gosh.
There is, like, a show that's, like, how it was supposed to be, and it's just not being aired in North America.
Yeah, because she's supposed to have more talking heads, you know, like the confessional scenes and all that stuff. Those are all cut out except for the second episode because it happened too soon that they couldn't edit it out. So, like, I watched that episode and I was like, oh, this sucks, because she would have been an interesting person to watch on the show. And she seemed like she had good talking head moments. And so I'm just like, ooh, this is going to suck. But the editing got pretty decent a little bit there. But yeah, like Keith was trying to allude to before I did sort of cut him off, unfortunately, is that the show started off like, okay, I guess this is going to be RuPaul's best friend race. And would you, yeah.
It's so cutthroat. Like, they are throwing each other under the buses. Like, a girl will be sitting there like, la-di-da-di-da. And this person's like, you know, like, your face is ugly. And you're like, what? Where did this come from? Like, out of complete blue.
I'm going to say last week was a bit like annoying, because I mean, I don't disagree with Gigi. She didn't say her face was ugly, but I was gonna say she has a point there. I also feel like Heidi does look better as a boy than as a girl. That's just my bias, don't come at me. But yeah, it's just like, but also I feel like I agreed with Jackie Cox with the whole like, you should have been ready for Snatch Game.
Yeah. But it's also the same thing. You should be ready to sew. Like,
yeah, also when...
This is season 12. They do the same, like, two things every single season. You should know about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously.
You should like, be able... Go ahead, Kevin.
If you're not training yourself to, like, match what it is, especially at this point, that's like someone trying to do Survivor, and they're like, cool, so I brought my Nintendo.
Yeah.
Like, of course you're gonna lose.
Well, it's the thing, right? I think someone brought up this point. It's like, you should have been taking sewing lessons the moment you even thought about applying for this show.
Exactly.
Because there's always, and it's usually the first challenge or the first two challenges, there's always a sewing challenge where you have to sew your own thing. I get it, like, everybody has to, like, they bring most of their costumes and they have designers make them, but you know you have to make at least one thing. At least one thing. And that always surprised me. And then Snatch Game always surprises me when people are, like, not ready for it. And then, like, I can get the other things, like, you know, the singing challenge, okay. Live singing, not everyone can just get good at it. But then, you know, like, know to compensate for your weaknesses also, right? But the only two things you need to be good at and you can't compensate for with just your personality are Snatch Game and sewing challenges. So.
Talking about Snatch Game, though, Aiden Zane was so bad.
So bad. Like, almost like Alyssa Edwards wasn't that bad. So bad. And Alyssa Edwards' first Snatch Game was not good.
Yeah. So, Kevin, just so you know, Aiden Zane's character, he played the actress that plays...
Magenta
in the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh, interesting.
And he didn't give her the British accent.
So one, no British accent.
What?
Yeah. One, that. Two, he played her as she was now and as like a like strung up on drugs, like
strung up on drugs, high, can't remember any lines, doesn't know where he is.
She didn't even know what the movie was made.
Like, that sounds
like okay. It was bad. Like, so when was that movie made again? It's like, I don't know. And I'm like, but not even in a funny way. Anyway,
it just sounds awful.
Last thing about the controversy, what was RuPaul's reaction?
RuPaul didn't react. Are you kidding me? She says nothing. She just got found out that she's fracking like my mother effer on like her property and her ranch and stuff. And she hasn't made I don't think she said anything. But all of it's gone through official VH1 or official RuPaul's Drag Race. Clearly she knows, and she clearly said disqualify the bitch, but she hasn't said so publicly because she barely ever says anything publicly. If it's not on camera, there's no point to it. So it wasn't gonna, we weren't going to hear what she has to say about it until the finale, basically.
Okay, so once they go live, she's going to cut a promo on her, pretty much.
No, no, once the reunion... Oh, I don't even know what they're going to do for the reunion episode. Oh, man.
That...
I feel so bad for these season 12 girls because, like, it was...
That's going to be topic one.
They're all, like, they're the all reunion... talented.
Yeah, for sure.
But, like...
Some are more talented than others.
They could do it on Skype. They could do it on Skype.
No, but it's not the same. Trust me. Like, reunion episodes are, like, some of the best episodes of Drag Race. Because it's, like, where everyone's, like, sort of passive-aggressive most of the time. There's maybe, like, one big fight per season. This one, there's
is
been,
that
like...
a contract?
This season, there's been a lot of fights. It's been great. That's some of the best part of Drag Race is the drama. But, yeah, but, like, usually at the reunion, people are, like, they've seen some of the episodes, and they're like, oh, you said that shit about me behind my back, or all this shit starts to talk. And
I thought we were friends.
Yeah. Oh, man. But yeah, I'm not feeling Widow anymore. I was like I've lost like faith in Widow Von Du. But like, who's your top queen so far? So we can like move this on and like stop.
Honestly, I don't really. I wanted oh man, I'm blanking on her name. The girl that went home, Sakurai.
Britta? Oh, Rakim Sakura.
Yeah, I wanted her to win. She was so happy.
Oh,
I
man.
Guess
Rock
now
is great.
That. I guess now I kind of want Jan to win still.
Yeah. So if this controversy hadn't come out, I think I would have been like all for Sherry Pie probably. Because I think she fits that like her, at least the style that she was going for fits into this like weird campy style that they don't really do as much anymore. She reminded me a lot of like Nina West, but with like not anymore, obviously, but I saw like when I looked at episode 2, I was like, I would go for like a Sherry Pie, but like afterwards I'm like, I'm totally up for Jan. Jan, who was robbed, by the way, this last episode.
So robbed. I don't know why the queens love Gigi Good so much.
Oh no, Gigi is good. She's like, she's killing it. You can't discount the fact that she's killing the competition, but she did not need that third win.
I'm just saying she played Michelle Visage with no tits.
Basically, which was like, how?
How could she win with no tits, Michelle?
It's because the runways don't matter, which is the problem most of the time, unless it's a runway challenge. Anyway, we don't want to talk about Drag Race too long. That's what the Drag Race episode is going to be for at the end of this whole debacle once it's done. So, Keith, any last words before you throw it off to somebody else?
If you're not watching RuPaul, you should be. And if you can't love yourself, how are you going to love someone else? Amen. And I'm going to throw it over to the person who's not listening. So take it away.
Yeah, I was listening.
I'm awake.
I was listening. I was reminded throughout your conversation how much I hate reality TV shows.
Oh, it's so good.
Overall. All
they're
of them.
The best. Straight God, Love Garden. Is Blind.
None of it is great.
Oh, no, no. Love is Blind is a trash show, and we could talk about why it's trash.
Oh, please, let's after this.
It's good. Yeah, but reality shows are cringy.
The only reality TV show, like, I did not even religiously follow. I just, like, kind of followed it a little bit whenever I could. It was Chopped, and it's only because, oh, it's one episode. These four contestants, the drama's very limited. It's about cooking. It's about them, like, trying to work
agreed.
Their ass off. And to figure out like how to make a meal with like fucked up ingredients. That's kind of cool. Like the rest is all like fucking dead air. It's garb. Oh man, I can't stand it. I can't.
If you like Chopped, such you should watch Guy's Grocery Games,
or Cutthroat Kitchen,
or Master Chef.
Like speaking of just like representation, in that case, the one episode I watch of Queer Eyes, I was like, oh, okay, it's not for me, but I think this is pretty decent. Like it's got a good message in it. I enjoy that.
Queer Eye is amazing.
Yeah.
Which Queer Eye, though? The old one with Carson, or the new one with the guy that from a Game of Thrones?
The one with Game of Thrones. I believe it wasn't with the guy from Game of Thrones, because I don't remember seeing a guy of Game of Thrones.
No, no.
Not Game of Thrones. Gay of Thrones.
Oh, Gay of Thrones. Big difference. I have no fucking clue.
It's so good. Thank you, Keith, by the way, for showing me that. That is some of the best parts of season 8.
On my end, I've been with my roommate rewatching. I say rewatching more so for my case, less so in his case. Rewatching movies and watching movies I haven't seen in a long time. Off the top of the list, he never saw Shaun of the Dead. We watched that.
Ooh. Nice.
It's a great movie. It's probably, though, of all the Edgar Wright movies, it's probably my least favorite, like, just speaking for myself. Probably.
Interesting.
Yeah. Have you seen World's End? I thought that
absolutely.
Would be...
I preferred World's End to Shaun of the Dead, that's for sure.
Although Hot Fuzz is amazing.
Hot Fuzz is the best one, yeah. I think, in his in his filmography. Yes. Hot Fuzz is the best one. I like.
Yes, I agree.
I like Baby Driver a lot. Because it speaks to me. That's kind of obvious, but I also think this movie is like legitimately well made. And Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, I haven't seen it in a long time. That'd be the only movie I'd have to rewatch now to see where like I kind of land on it. But yeah, Shaun of the Dead is still a great movie. I know it's my least favorite of the of the ones I've seen, at least.
So for Scott Pilgrim, I love it. I love the manga. I cannot rewatch the movie.
Oh, like, really?
You rewatch it now and you're like, it's funny, it's got its moments, and then you're like, ugh, why did I like this part?
I think it actually holds up still fairly well. I haven't seen it in a couple of years, but from what I remember seeing, I remember it holding up pretty decently.
I just recently rewatched, because obviously there's like YouTube and everyone's doing as much content as possible, and one of them was exactly that. It was Scott Pilgrim, CinemaSins actually, and it reminded me how much like I'm like, oh man, I love this. What's he gonna talk about it? And he makes a lot of good points, and I'm like, oh yeah, okay.
I haven't listened to CinemaSins in probably 5-6 years. I think they're legitimately garbage reviewers.
I was gonna say similar thing.
They're probably the worst big channel about movies. That's just for myself.
Oh well, it's styled that way. But nonetheless, like I loved it when I saw it, and I still like the manga and stuff like that. I think like I'll probably want to rewatch it again soon and see if that statement still holds. But I think I'm gonna cringe a little bit.
Did we do a Scott Pilgrim episode?
I feel like you did.
I feel like we did, but
I think we did.
Who says we can't again? I mean, it's been 5 years, and we're out of ideas.
I do. I say no, yet.
Anyway, no. What did you want to say about Hot Fuzz? Because I just want to talk about that movie. But what did you were you going to say about Shaun of the Dead there, Xavier?
Oh, no, it's just it still holds up. I really like that movie. A lot of people dig a lot of the good contrast between the comedy bits and the drama in it. I think after rewatching that movie, I think the drama is still quite good. But I think it takes me out of the movie for a moment. And I'm speaking more so about like. Spoiler for those who haven't seen Shaun of the Dead. Simon Pegg's character, his mother dies in the movie, and it's like kind of the harsh point of the movie, especially how one of the characters wants to kill her.
Well, spoilers.
I said spoilers at the start of this fucking intervention.
Now he's not listening.
Stop thinking about RuPaul. Start thinking about Simon Pegg. And yeah. The drama part was still quite good. It was still good, but it wasn't connecting as much as I felt it took me out of the movie for a moment. But that's only after the rewatch. I'm gonna say I watched for the first time, but it's more so watching it for the first time with like the state of mind and my age now. Goodwill Hunting. I didn't watch that movie since.
Oh, interesting.
I watched Goodwill Hunting when I was like
25 yet.
Huh?
Are you almost 25?
I turned 26 this year.
Okay, so I couldn't remember. It's been forever.
Yeah, it's I watched that movie when I was probably 9 years old, and I watched it in French and on TV. It was there. I barely remembered the movie, so it was like great to actually rewatch it, and I really loved it. Like it's more so the connection I could make with. How life throws curveballs at you and how
people
handle them. And that's the thing that really got to me. I'm not a genius like Will Hunting is in that movie, but a lot of topic about like living up to your potential, like whatever your potential is a topic that I find really interesting. So I connected with that. I really liked it. Rewatched Snatch, but I mean, I rewatched Snatch like probably 3 or 4 times a year because it's fucking great.
It's such a good movie.
Oh god, it's so goddamn good. Oh, I wish Guy Ritchie could just make good movies all the time.
Well, did you watch the movie The Gentlemen?
No, I haven't yet. I want to watch it though. So I'll be waiting for it to come on streaming probably and just get it. And yeah, or maybe rent it online. I might do that actually and just watch it because I miss my chance to watch it in movie theaters. Yeah. I wish you could make constantly good movies. I'll put it that way because I really like The Man from U.N.C.L.E. I thought that movie was really fun.
I agree.
And so yeah. That was Snatch, and then what was it we rewatched recently? Oh yeah, we rewatched yesterday The Hangover Part 1.
Oh god.
Yeah, that movie doesn't hold up, at least to me. Like, I thought it was okay, and I enjoyed it when I watched it the first time. Probably in 2009, actually. I probably watched it in theaters. I was, 15 years old? That checks out. I probably have seen this movie in French then, on the cinema. That's what I recall, anyway. Yeah, that movie does not hold up for me. I think I see why people like it. But I just think the comedy is a bit too broad, and it just, yeah, it's not kind of cohesive what happens. And I know that's the point, because they were drunk, and they did, like batshit insane stuff, but it just, the way it connects back to the story afterwards is just kind of like, bleh, whatever. I think the acting's pretty fine in general. I think the script is a bit weak, but thankfully, they have good performances in the movie that kind of, lifts it up. And what was the other movie we rewatched before The Hangover and between Shaun of the Dead? God damn it. I wish I had a good memory.
Well, so while you're trying to remember, so speaking of The Hangover, it doesn't hold up upon scrutiny now, especially. But I can see why back then it was 10, 12 years ago. It was a different time.
2009, so it's been 11 years now.
Yeah, so it was a different time back then. I mean, I remember enjoying it the first time I saw it. The movies did get progressively worse, but upon going back a while ago, it does not hold up. I don't think it was ever really designed to hold up.
Yeah. Yes, and on the sides of anime, it was... Actually, no, I'm going to skip anime for now. I'm going to throw it back to me later. Let's go back to you, Andrew.
Well, Kevin hasn't spoken yet, so we'll
give
sorry. It to Kevin.
Oh, sorry, Oh, right, he contributed to conversations, probably. Sorry, Kevin. Kevin!
No, not at all. The biggest one that I've been glad to go through finally was the newest season of Castlevania. On Netflix.
Oh, right, yeah, that's the thing we watch. Okay.
Yeah. So there you go, it's perfect. Man, I really, really, really like what they've done with this series. I love the third season. I would definitely say I liked the second one a little bit more, but it shows that this season really sets itself for what's going to be a huge event in the fourth season, very similar how one played its part to really push ahead number two. Given if you look at the history of they've been wanting to do with Castlevania on the television screen or movie screen, there's been talks about this forever, and the fact that there's actually something and it works so well is impressive. I remember when people were saying that Jonathan Franks was going to play the voice of Dracula, stuff like that, and I was excited, but of course I was because Star Trek. But what they've done and how they've gone to be able to do a mature subject cartoon, very well organized show out of this, and Netflix has been able to be a platform that can allow it, is really great. For those of you who aren't aware, it basically plays primarily upon the first two seasons play a lot of almost Castlevania 3, where you've got the various characters from that event, and now they're really playing picking pieces here and there and really evolving the story to be more or less on its own. And so this season they introduced another character that was in one of the other games, not Castlevania 3, and he plays a fairly predominant role into just discovering what's going on and why he's involved in it. So it's crazy, and Dracula's not really in this. It's all about the aftermath of the fight with Dracula, and a lot of the characters are kind of split off. So you've got Alucard, who's on his own, and his story is kind of sad and a little bit
it's depressive.
It's really depressing, but they're really setting it up that, like, he's kind of, like, he's almost going to be, like, the antagonist in the next season. At least that's how I feel. But you really get a good kind of chuckle and, like, interaction between Simon and Bernades. Fuck, what's her first name? Why am I forgetting it?
Start again? What's the character you're thinking about?
The girl. What's her first name?
The girl.
Repeat?
The girl. What girl?
Isn't it like Sifa or something? Or Sifa?
Yeah, there you go. Sifa.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've only seen season one and like a couple episodes of two, but don't worry, I was not paying attention. Continue.
Yeah. But, well, that's great. But no, it's a really good show. If you really like the Castlevania mythos, it's really well done. I like it, and I like the, like, crude humor of it in a lot of the moments. Even, like, how they just, like, straight up end some of the scenes. It's just like, well, what do you mean this is going to be an issue? Well, don't you realize this is going to happen? And then it's just, like, a bit of a dead silence, and they're like, fuck, and then it cuts out, and then you can realize, like, the stories play out. So I'm seeing a lot of that kind of being a norm right now. Like, just to add a bit of something else that I've just started watching, and it's The Witcher. That kind of same, like, humor and level of communication is within the show as well, and I'm kind of liking, like, it's almost funny how Castlevania and The Witcher are very similar in, like, that tone. Obviously, it's almost a very similar setting as well, but yeah, really good. If I would definitely say that if you like The Witcher and you like cartoons, I think you'll really like Castlevania as well, from Netflix. Super having fun with it. Yeah,
and the song's so catchy. Toss a coin to your Witcher.
Oh, for The Witcher, yes. Yes, I've gotten that song stuck in my head for sure. I'm only up to the start of episode 6 now, because I've been watching it alongside a friend. And we're, like, commenting and just shit-bashing some of the scenes as well. But it's fun. It's so far, I'm really enjoying it. And the only part for The Witcher, at least, that's they're doing a good job, but it's still driving me bonkers, is the whole, like, time skippity things all over the place that they don't straight up tell you, they just do. So it's kind of cool, and it's not at the same time, but I'm accepting it, and I'm going with it. We'll see how I feel once I've watched the whole thing and, like, actually have a big comment, a big point to put on to that. Other than that, for Netflix stuff, not much to say other than I really enjoyed going rewatching it. It was Gundam Iron Blood Orphans. I don't know why I wanted to rewatch it. I just saw it and I was like, oh, I want to rewatch it. And so that it still holds up. It's such a good series. It's so crazy. There's a few scenes or a few sections I would say now that I didn't like as much as I did when I watched it the first time, but overall still a very good Gundam series.
Curious. What kind of scenes are we talking about here?
Just like some of the stuff where it's just like, everything's going great. Hey, want to do this one thing that's too completely off guard? Sure, no problem. And then, like, everyone's dead. And I'm like,
that's part of the things I like about that show, is that the thing about Mika and Orca that works so well is that they're both really toxic to each other. Like, they keep fueling themselves into one-upping each other, into trying, like, just to get them quick as possible to the place they want to be. And they just go and they make some decisions in there that are just, like, really, really bonkers. And
kind of exactly.
I like that part of the show. I think it's great.
Yeah, it's different. But it's still a really great anime. Through and through, I was super happy about it. I think I'm just going to wrap it up for there, because that's pretty much a lot of my Netflix stuff. There's other things I could talk about, but we'll bring it back to Andrew.
Is it me? Is it you? Who knows? Guess who?
Guess who?
We could have worked on our timing a little bit better on that one. So this one...
Whatever, you can adjust it in post.
No, I'm not. I'm too lazy. So, Final Fantasy VII Remake, a.k.a. the game Keith couldn't get in time. So...
I blame you, Peter, specifically.
Did you order on Amazon? Why, because you order on Amazon?
I ordered it June 2018 from Amazon.
So, Keith, I just want to tell you something, and Peter, no offense, you just work for the company, but never pre-order anything on Amazon. They are literally the worst with pre-orders. You would have gotten it faster, even... I'm pretty sure you would have still had it delayed had you no COVID. But even if there was no COVID, had you ordered it on Friday at midnight, you would have gotten it quicker than your pre-order. That is how
I checked. I could order it today, and it's still going to arrive next Friday when my pre-order said it's going to arrive.
Yes, but
or you could just order it.
I'll tell you. No, remake? No. Keith, I'll tell you this, right? So back when the Switch came out, I had a friend who pre-ordered the Switch in January, and I had Ali buy my Switch on Amazon on the Friday it came out. And I got my Switch before my friend got his. So, yeah, Amazon, no offense, is the worst with pre-orders and getting those out on time. Times out of 10. Actually, in my experience, 10 times out of 10. But, you know, statistically, they have to get it right at least once in a blue moon. Anyway, so FF7 Remake. Don't worry, there's not going to be any spoilers. I like it. I think it's a lot of fun. It was... until I got to a specific point in the game, I had a hard time putting it down. And then I ran into a boss fight that was just really annoying. And I just said, fuck it. I'm just going to stop playing for the night. And I'm like, I wanted to go to bed anyway, 4 a.m. But I mean, that's actually pretty standard for me. I work nights. But it's been fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm still getting used to some of the changes. A lot of the camera is still a bit awkward at points and like some of the movement, but I like how they've expanded upon the story. It is a bit slow at first. I will give it that. But I do like what they've done with the expanded on the story. I like all the character interactions and how they're fleshing them out. Cloud is hungry for that money, which is hilarious.
And Jesse's flirting with
him? Yeah, he's got, like... But it's just great. Like, the Jesse stuff is... I think she's a new character this game, right?
No,
she's from the original seven, but they expanded her character.
Well, I like how they expanded everyone's character. I like how they expanded Tifa's character. I like how they expanded Aerith's character and Jesse. Even, like, Biggs and Wedge get more to do, which is kind of nice, and I like their characters. So I like a little bit of what's going on, and, like, I like the game. I don't even remember it, because I've never finished FF7, and it's been over a decade since I played the first disc anyway, so... It's nice going through the story and it all being fresh for me. I didn't even watch any of those "this is what happened in FF7 videos. So I'm enjoying it. You're going to enjoy it when it comes out, and it's a lot of fun. The battle system is not awful, except for this one stupid boss, which is annoying.
So are you playing the automatic or the non-automatic one? Because I noticed in the demo you could choose between the two.
What do you mean by automatic?
So, like, in the demo, you could choose that your basic attack just automatically happens, and then if you want to do, like, spells, you could press buttons to just do, like, the more powerful spells. Or you could set it so that you have to, like, press X every time you want to do a normal attack, and then...
It's square, but X to do specials. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I chose the normal mode. I didn't choose casual or easy, which are two different things. I picked normal mode. It's been fun. And so I have to do things. I'm slowly getting used to how the button mapping works still, but that's just because I started doing it one way, and then I realized I should be doing it this other way. It's more efficient. But yeah, I'm like, this one boss has been really grinding my gears. So I haven't played it since last night. So once we're done recording, I'll probably go back and play that.
And I know in the demo, like this, your teammates like Barrett or whatever, if you're not controlling them, weren't so great at aiming.
Pretty much.
Are they still horrible?
Yes, pretty much. They don't attack as quickly if you're not controlling them, which means, like, in general, like, the character, it's so weird. So, like, they're not attacking as frequently as they should, and you still have to make them do their specials. But their special bar doesn't go up fast enough for you to use it more frequently, so that's kind of annoying. But... I mean, for the most part, it's fine. But they do, they're not stupid AI. Like, if a boss is going to throw a one-hit KO at you, they're going to try and run to avoid it. So the AI is better at dodging and avoiding things, but they're not very good at attacking. So, yeah.
I think the only thing, and I guess it makes sense, but, like, given how long it's taken for them to get this released, I think the only part that's still kind of a bit of a tee-off is the fact that this is... not the full game. It is part of a game, and people are now paying for part of a game. Well done, well done as much as what it is, but it is not all the game.
No, but it's a different, it's so, like, okay, I would totally have agreed with that beforehand, but they've done enough for it to work in this case. It's not the full, it is a full game, but it's not the full story, I guess is how I would reframe that argument. Because it is a full game. I mean, I'm like, what, 15, 20 hours in, and I'm not even, I think I'm maybe a third through the game.
So it's basically disc one of the original FF7.
No, it's like half of disc one, but...
that's even sadder.
Yeah, but they've expanded the story... like they've expanded the characters. It's become more of a character piece than it does like a full story. And they're seeding things from later parts of the game earlier to make those make more sense, I guess.
No, but I think that part makes sense, and I think that works out in that regards. But like, it still falls down to being a storyline that people are going to be buying. Let's assume that there's going to be two more iterations of this. So like, how much is this game right now? Like $80?
Well, Canadian,
$80
yeah.
times three. So like, yeah, it's just more of like people stretching like something as much as possible. And I'm glad that it works out, because it'd be even worse if it wasn't working out the way it is now. So kudos on them. They got that to work where it's at right now. But it's still like something that's been pulling at like a lot of the fan bases. Heartstrings forever to have this remake and see where it's going, and after all this time being taken, it's like, cool, so we just decided to release part of it.
So I my one like counter, I guess, to that point, I get that it's not really a counter, and like I said, I was pretty much firmly in that camp before I started seeing what they were doing with it. Midgard, in its sense, like, if you didn't know there was more to this world than Midgard, you would, like, so if anyone who hasn't played the original game could get through this game and not actually, like, feel, like, gypped, it'll be like a go watch the anime kind of ending, you know, go read the manga kind of ending in an anime, I guess is my best way to equate it, is how I feel it's gonna end. I'm not there yet, but I can understand, like, not getting the full story, but at the same time, like, I like a lot, they fixed a lot of my issues with Final Fantasy VII and not being able to go back and play the original game. The inconsistent graphics, the grindiness of it at sometimes. They've like streamlined a lot of the game. It is it's a full game in its sense. It's not the full story, but it is a full game. And if you wanted to play, if you wanted the full story for FF7, go play the original PS1 like HD remaster, HD quote unquote remaster on PC or some shit like that. So like, but for a new experience, it's a fun new experience, and I think like don't it's not the full game. You can do what some people do and wait for the final version of this game where they release the like complete discography, you know, like the what is it edition, like when they release a bunch of games at the same time,
the anthology,
yeah, but when they release the anthology all of it together, it's probably gonna still be three games. But I mean, like, the soundtrack is great, the characters look great, the cutscenes look fabulous. There's some issues with like controls, but like, and getting you like me like not it not being like classic, you know, choose your moves. But I mean, that's something I can get past. We're now in an action RPG kind of world, unless you're playing handhelds. I guess Bravely Default 2 is now the new standard bearer for like choosing your actions. But yeah, I mean, it's a solid game so far. Like, I'm enjoying it, and I don't even have the FF7 nostalgia. It's not even my favorite Final Fantasy. I don't even have it in my top three.
No, that's good. No, like, I'm glad that that's in that sense, and I'm glad, like, for someone who's paid money to actually play it, that you're like, you're satisfied with what's given. So like,
yeah,
at the very least, if that's there, then that's really good.
Yeah,
but it would just suck a little bit if, like, someone who did pay for it expected the whole thing, and then they, like, get to the end. I'm like, cool, all this was, new stuff was good, but why did it end here? And I think it's mostly those people.
And that's on you. I mean, you, like, that question...
Is it?
It is. Not you specifically. That's on that person. Because part of it is just, like, there's so much information out there. Like, you can easily find out how much of this is in the game. That's one of the first questions everybody is asked. And that's the first question anyone is asked. Is it the whole thing? And it's like, no, it's just Midgard. And, like, and I guess if you're, like, completely cut off from the internet in some ways, but if FF7 is your favorite game and you're going to be disappointed that it's not the full game, you should have been disappointed and come to terms with that fact way long ago, because you wouldn't go in, you wouldn't have gone in blind knowing this is, thinking this is the whole game. So, and they let that known way back when. So that's why I say it's on you if you're a fan and you're expecting it to be the full game and you're disappointed.
I think I'll add one more thing to all this is if they ever do another remake for, I don't know, Chrono Trigger, let's hope they don't just cut that into parts as well.
No, when they remade remastered Chrono Trigger, they actually added more stuff to it.
No, I mean like a remake. Like, this remake is only part of the game. I wouldn't want Chrono Trigger to be a part of a game either.
But that, with Chrono Trigger, all they would do is they would just remake the game in the Octopath Traveler style, and they're not going to do that in parts, because the Octopath Traveler style does not take up that much, like, space. But all, yeah, so, I would say. So they're not going to do that. Also, they're not going to remake Chrono Trigger, unfortunately, as great as that game is.
So yeah, I know. It's sad.
Anyway. So, Peter, what do you want to talk about?
Well, there's a couple things I want to talk about. We can talk about Kingdom Season 2 on Netflix.
I haven't seen Korean... Kingdom.
You haven't seen Kingdom?
No.
It's a really good Korean zombie show. You should really check it out. No spoilers for Season 2, how it ends. It pretty much kind of confirms that they're going to do a Season 3, but who knows, because I don't know if Netflix has announced that they renewed it for a third season or not. But overall, it's just a great series. It's nice. It's like about, I believe, 6 or 8 episodes. And you can probably binge watch it in one whole day.
Okay, dope.
So it's a great horror, but I think if you don't understand Korean history, I think you'll probably get lost, but still... If you want something that's horror-related, it satisfies you for sure.
Sweet.
And I just recently caught up and finished the Seven Deadly Sins manga that ended about a week or two ago, or much longer.
Oh, is it actually done now?
It's done, but they've announced a sequel series, which will come out later in the year.
Well, that's no surprise. Or 2021.
Yeah, it's pretty much... It was, the final chapter, there was a lot of... missing or characters that didn't show up, which kind of confirms that, yeah, in the sequel series they'll have a big role or will just be important side characters. And I don't know if I should say the name of the sequel series, because I don't know if you guys want to get spoiled or not, so...
Ideally not spoiled, but go for it. I'm not listening.
Okay, it's called the... I believe it's called The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, or just The Four Horsemen, so... Makes me wonder who will be, like, the main threat in, like, the first major arc of this series.
The theme seems to be there, so it'll be interesting, and I think if...
You gotta think in, like, in Seven Deadly Sins, they have the Ten Commandments, who are, like, one of the sub-main villains in the manga. So I'm thinking, what's more positive and more religious that could be turned into something evil? Like, who knows?
The angels of angels. I don't know. So
yeah, that hasn't been reused and redone a million times. Angels being the devil.
Well, I mean, like, some shows do it well, like Shingeki no Bahamut, Genesis, I think, is a good show that involves angels and demons and all that kind of craziness. And then its sequel series, Virgin Soul. So that's a fun, like, take on, like, angels and demons and, like, maybe they're not so different and humans dealing with monsters and all that fun stuff. Anyway, didn't mean to steal your thunder. Continue.
No, no problem. I don't know what's going to be, like, the main threat in this sequel series. Maybe they'll do something like a weird spin on David and Goliath. Who knows the way this series is going. And also I played the Power Rangers game, Battle for the Grid, on PC. It's a nice fighting game, I have to say. I really like the controls, the button layouts for this. It's a great fighting game. It's nice and simple, and some of the characters flow easily. Some of the characters have like a tough time trying to control them because they have specific movesets or just very limited movesets, which is kind of tricky to when you're fighting characters who are much OP. Have you played that game, Andrew?
No, I basically avoid like fighting games in general now. Not really avoid. Well, I just haven't played it, and I just didn't feel the need to.
Yeah, because it kind of plays in part with like the Boom Studio comics also.
Yeah.
So you'll find some characters like overlapping or ideas are overlapping between the Boom comics and the video game as well.
Yeah, I've seen like the characters look cool. So like they have not just that, but they also I think have some of the characters from like the D&D style RPG campaign that they ran.
I'm
just not really big on fighting games, to be honest. Like, I'll play Smash, which is more of a party game than a fighting game sometimes, in my opinion. I mean, it does get some pretty technical, but that's just my opinion. But yeah, I'm just like, it looks interesting. I'm just like, character designs look cool, but I just don't really care.
I think the main reason why I purchased this game is because, you know, I like the Sentai genre, and to me it's fun, you know, like they're doing like Power Rangers like Crisis or Infinity Gauntlet or Endgame style storytelling, which is quite fun.
Yeah, I heard about that craziness in the comics.
Yeah, so it's like it's super crazy, evolving like different times, multiverses. It's like the most craziest like comic book idea ever inserted into a Power Rangers franchise. And also, I know on my birthday, it's coming up in a couple of weeks, I know Shout Factory on their Twitch channel is doing a Kamen Rider marathon on the first series. So
oh, nice.
They're going to stream that all day on April 29th. So if you haven't seen Kamen Rider in full, the very first series back in like 1971, Shout Factory is going to do a marathon on their Twitch channel on April 29th. So just check that out. Free plug for Shout Factory.
Woo! Woohoo! All right, I guess that goes back to Keith then.
Sure. So, as you probably all know, I play a lot of Magic, and there was supposed to be a new set coming out in 2 weeks' time called Ikoria, but because of coronavirus, they have delayed the paper pre-releases for another 2 months in North America.
Oh my gosh, you have a tough time ordering stuff, Keith.
Well, I don't mind so much, but it's kind of funny because they had teamed up with Tenho to make like Godzilla themed cards, and one of the cards they had made was Space Godzilla Death Corona.
Oh god!
Oh yes!
So they had to then do a whole bunch of public announcements saying that these cards were approved way before coronavirus was ever a thing. And they've taken it off lot. They've taken the card out. They've renamed the card from online versions of Magic. And they've taken it out from their printing machines, but a bunch of their boxes have already been printed. So if you get the first wave of Magic cards, you might get a Death Corona. And they have to give public warnings to everybody.
That's going to be like the new Black Lotus.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah. Pretty much.
It's like selling like $200, is pre-ordering at $200 to $300 US.
Just the card?
Just the card.
Oh, that's so cheap. Holy crap. I thought it would be way higher.
Well, I think people don't know how big the first printing wave is, right?
I might buy some Magic cards just to see if I get that card. Might make some scratch.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun. But otherwise, you know, I've been playing on Arena. It's been good. And strangely enough, Wizards had, like, sort of been cutting back on, like, profile making, you know, like, their big contests and tournaments have not been being broadcast online. They weren't paying people to, like, talk about it. And now, because everyone's home and there are no tournaments, one of the tournament organizers has created this weekly thing, and they basically stream 16 hours a day high level magic where anyone could like enter to get, qualify for it. So there's actually more magic being played on Twitch, more people viewing, more pros talking about it than ever before when no one could play. So it's sort of a fun time.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome. Xavier, did you have anything else?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah, I'm not sure anymore now that you've asked me again. I watched... here's the end of the movie I forgot. Dolomite Is My Name. I watched it recently. That was really great. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I've heard of the Eddie Murphy remake.
The Eddie Murphy remake of what now? I had an audio cut. I did not hear what anybody said.
Oh,
that was great.
I've heard of it, but go ahead, explain it.
Okay, so Dolomite Is My Name is a biopic about the famous movie director and actor Rudy Ray Moore. And it's Eddie Murphy who's playing it, and he actually seems to be giving a shit about playing him because he's really great in it. It's directed by Craig Brewer, but mostly it was written in part by Scott Alexander and Larry Karaswinski. But if you haven't, if these names don't ring any bell, that's the people, at least Larry, it's the one who made Ed Wood. So if you've seen Ed Wood, you kind of know what this script is going to be about. It's great. I really liked it. It's fun, and it's an interesting character. It's an interesting period of times for movies, especially how like Dolomite will become like a how Rudy Ray Moore will become a blaxploitation phenomenon at the time. So yeah, it's really great. I recommend it. I believe it's a Netflix original. So yeah, you can just watch it. And anime sides, I've been delving into a show called Double Decker, Doug and Kirill, which is I believe it's side story from Tiger and Bunny. I don't know if it's a prequel, but at least it's a side story. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a spin-off show. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Which one is this?
It's called Doug and Kirill.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I really liked Tiger and Bunny.
Yeah, and because they've announced a second season of Tiger and Bunny for 2021 or 22, I can't remember now, but they've announced a new season for Tiger and Bunny. I was like, oh, I might as well watch the side project they made. I'm 4 episodes into the 13. It's really funny. I think it's legitimately hilarious. There's a lot of great scenes in it. Apparently, the show goes off the rails at near the end, but I don't know what happens in it. So it's just what I heard about, like just general feelings on that show. But yeah, so far I'm really liking it, and I'm rewatching Bubblegum Crisis because I...
The original?
The original Bubblegum Crisis OVA, yes.
Okay, not 2040.
Yeah, no, not 2040, no. So it's really fun so far. I've been enjoying it as well. But I guess I'm less stricken by it now than I used to be the first time I watched it. The music is probably the best part of that show. It's so fucking good. Holy shit.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yeah. Right. 80s OVA has good music, good animation. Sounds about right. Yeah.
Well, honestly, the animations at points sometimes is really great, and sometimes it's very lacking. That's the thing I was surprised by watching. I was like, this kind of looks a little bit cheap for an OVA in some aspect. But yeah, the music is goddamn incredible. It's so good. So yeah, honestly, that's kind of been it for me in these past couple of weeks. The rest I've been playing video games, and that's really boring to talk about. So no.
Okay.
If you pick up the Bubblegum Crisis Blu-ray from Animego, the new one that came out, I funded that thing on Kickstarter, and you can probably see my name.
Oh, really?
On the paper, yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay.
You can just search it, but it's you have to find it. It's there's a lot of people that back that Kickstarter, so my name is on the poster sheet.
It's great. Nice. You're like the second person I've heard of who has his name attached to a Blu-ray release of something. The other one is my friend who backed Necopara Blu-ray, which that's something ashamed of being at the back of something. But
I know, but I also backed the Gunsmith Cats Kickstarter also, so my name is also on
the
poster.
Why do
you
have so many good fucking tastes? Gunsmith Cats is great manga. I love it.
Well, that's because Animigo is like the only anime publisher that does Kickstarter. Everyone else has like some, they're part of a company or part of some entertainment. Like Funimation's part of Sony. I think G Kids is part of Shout Factory also. So I think they're very independent.
Yeah.
I think also they did the Megazone 23 Kickstarter also, but the sad part, it wasn't available for Canada.
Oh, that's a shame.
Sucks. Yeah.
I wish I could. Well, we could have gotten Megazone 23. I probably would have gotten that in that case.
Yeah, and the artwork and posters and the special features for Megazone 23 look amazing.
So yeah, actually I didn't know about the Gunsmith Gaff's Blu-ray release. I might check that out then, because I also watched this, but rewatched it, but like that was last year. And that was holding up, so I'm...
And also, the creator, I think it's Kenshi Soda, I also backed the short Writing Bean new OVA he's making right now, so and I think, yeah, it's going to be a pretty good year, hopefully when that short OVA comes out, I think either this year or next year.
I'm looking forward to it. I personally am more of a fan of Riley Vincent than Writing Bean, but I'll take whatever I can get from that series. It's... good stuff. Yeah, otherwise I've been on a little bit of Smite, mostly on Gundam Battle Operation 2 again, which is sucking away my time and my patience. God, people are trash at this game. yeah, that's about it. I'll toss it back to you, Kevin.
Hey! One thing, and I don't know if we're probably going to do a full episode about it, but I just wanted to bring it up, Star Trek, Picard, I got to watch the whole thing.
Oh, okay, curious now, how was it? Because I heard a lot of varying opinions on it. Because
it's hit or it's very polarizing as a show, I would say.
I think that's, I think that's a good word to use, because it's very... it's dependent on what kind of Star Trek you like and what kind of Star Trek you wanted to see out of, more specifically out of Picard himself. The show does, a lot of people were hoping that it was going to be like, almost like a Next Generation 2.0. And it was, even the creators were like, no, that's not exactly what it's not going to be. Patrick Stewart even was like, no, like this is, he's aged. He's got like, he wants to do good, but he knows his limits now. And he knows that he needs to like do things a certain way.
So that's why they've put him into an action Star Trek show. Okay.
Yeah. but that's the thing. It still works really well in like how he still very much tries to be the diplomat, how he really tries to get through what needs to be done to get through what needs to like end at the end. Overall, did it feel like the Star Treks of old? No. Absolutely not. It does feel a lot more like they're doing the same thing as they've done before, the more recent ones with like Discovery. I do like Discovery. After watching it, after seeing it, I was really happy with it. I still think that there's a little bit like kookiness out of it, but it's still really nice. But I don't know. I also couldn't see Star Trek of old being done now either. Like I think if I watched it now, I'd feel that it's a little bit weird. I'm actually one of the few people who doesn't like Orville, and like if you really like the Star Trek of old, that's more the direction you would want to probably go to. While this was really, it was really fun because like it continued a storyline. It added new elements to something that was already fairly like canon and like predominant. It continued the story without like making like the movies be an impact on like how the things progressed. They used, I think, just enough old characters and like added
they
new
used
ones
too many.
They didn't use enough
they used two predominant and then one two non-predominant within the short amount of time. I think the only thing I would say is they could have done more in regards to the storyline, and I feel like it was cut short a little too much for what it was, because it just felt like this would have been like a like a two or three parter of the Next Generation or Voyager type of thing, and that's it. Like, so it does feel kind of, there's a lot to go through in a short period of time, but that short period of time that we got was really good, or at least I enjoyed myself from it. I would have not thought of it this way as a Star Trek episode. Like, if you told me to like watch all of the series before up to just before Discovery and then do an episode, I would have never done it this way. Even if you include Discovery, I still would have been like, okay, maybe a little bit more high techy, but I think I would have still thought done it a different way. But everything that they've done, I don't feel like I was disappointed. Like, it was fun. There's like the one goofy episode, sort of, as much as it can be within the series. Like, they did a good job about that. Everything overall was just done well, and I like sort of the send off that they do as well, and kind of really starting up what could be great for the second season. And we know from the talks that they have now that it'll go up to season three, at the end of season three at the moment. Who knows with what the pandemic has done, but so far, like, I'm looking forward to two more seasons of this. I'm looking forward to seeing what Picard and this new crew will have in store, and how the stories will elaborate a little bit more with some of these characters that I've now, like, I've learned to like, and I'm interested in knowing a little bit more, whether it's a little bit more about their past or a little bit more about where things are going to go in the future. So, as a Star Trek fan, I'm happy with it. I'm glad we got something with Patrick Stewart again. It's unbelievable. They did a good job with having a few of the, like, reprising the roles of Riker, Deanna, Seven of Nine, and then, like, a few cameos of other characters, either from Voyager, one of the Borg kids, and then another Borg, former Borg, that's one of the more predominant characters in it as well. All of it, just, they did a good job with building former characters into the story, and the story is compelling enough. To see where it will go from here will be interesting.
I fall sort of on the other side of this conversation. I just found it long. It was way longer than it needed to be. I like the characters, but the show didn't feel Star Trek-y. Like, it's this new post, like, modern Star Trek era we live in. So, like, Star Trek, it's very much like Star Trek Discovery. It's very edgy. Like, I really didn't care. Like, so why does everyone have to say fuck now in Star Trek? Because that's a thing now, right? Everyone just has to say fuck. Like, ugh. What's the point of that?
You mean the admiral saying it? I thought
not
it was awesome.
Everybody's saying it, like, and it's just like, I was like, "Go fuck yourself, Picard." I'm like, "Why is this in? Like, what? Okay, fine." What were you gonna say, Peter?
I'm just saying, if it was much longer this season and they were able to do more like bottle episodes, would you kind of enjoyed it?
No. Yes and no. Okay, so. So I'm on the other side. I like the Orville season one. Who would think that Seth MacFarlane would make the most Star Trek, classic Star Trek show in this day and age more than anybody else, of all people? Crazy to me. But I liked the episode that felt the most like a classic Star Trek episode, with the heist, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But even that felt like filler, because it was basically, in a lot of ways, like, it suffers from, so I think this is a thing I've heard before, like, you remember all those early Netflix Marvel shows, like Luke Cage, Daredevil and all that? You remember how they felt just slightly too long? Like, they could have been an episode or two shorter, and that would have made them tighter, which they ended up doing later on.
Especially for Iron Fist season 2.
So, like, this show could have been, like Kevin said, it could have been a three-parter of, like, a thing, and it would have worked way better. But it was just, a lot of it was so obvious, too, which kind of bugged me. Like a lot of the twists, quote unquote twists, were like telegraphed so far in advance. And so it just felt like it was wasting my time half the time. But it was...
Wasting your time half the time.
But like, I'll agree with Kevin. It is well made. It is a very well made show. I like... half the characters, the other half feel useless or stupid or just there to do something later. But it feels like by the end of this season, it feels like we're going to get something more akin to modern classic Trek is what I'm hoping for. Because like this whole thing with like, you know, why does everything have to be dark? You know, like, to be good. Why can't it just be fun and campy, like, and whatnot, and, like, still tell a really good story? And I think the Orville sort of hits that. It's still a little bit too... It suffers from being on Fox, and it being...
Not anymore.
Oh, I guess. We'll see. I haven't seen season two, and I didn't know it got canceled and then got picked up by season three somewhere else.
No, it didn't get canceled. It's just moving straight to Hulu.
Okay, so who knows? I'm curious to see what they do with that. But, like, it clearly suffered from being on Fox the first season. But it still told some really interesting episodes. And that's what I sort of want to see in, like, Star Trek. Like, take what's happened in, like, the last 30 years since a Star Trek show has aired and do something with it. Discovery didn't do that. It tried to be classic Trek at points, but it took two seasons to get to a point that was, hey, we might actually do something new with Star Trek that also still feels like Star Trek. Because now it feels more like Star Wars.
One thing I will say is if season twos and three starts like predominantly talking about time travel again, I'm done. Like that's one thing I think Star Trek has like beaten like senseless out of the whole thing is just the time travel thing needs to just stop. So I'm really looking forward to seeing like where the story goes with like kind of like the pseudo big bad that they kind of hint at the end of this one, or if there's going to be something new to come out of this in the next season. But if they're going to go back to time travel again, that's I think where I'm gonna clock out. I'm gonna be like, guys, you had absolutely every other thing you could have done. Every other Star Trek has like beaten the time travel thing to death, especially since Voyager. Like, please, like, don't play the time card. And if they do, like, that's where they're going to definitely lose
me. It's good for an episode, sort of like the Mirror Universe. It's good for, like, an episode or two, but you don't need to make a whole season based around it. Like...
Exactly.
We make a good time travel story and tell it in, like... Time travel, more often than not, doesn't work as a story arc in a lot of contexts, unless it's really well written. Really well. Otherwise, but it works for like a two episode arc where, like in whatchamacallit, Deep Space Nine, when the guy gets sent back in time and ends up becoming the reason the riots. I can't remember it, but like the captain goes back and he ends up becoming the guy who they read about in the history books. Like fun little stories like that, you know? Like that's fine. But like, don't try to tell me this whole convoluted story plot line that just ends up being stupid.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, yeah, they've got Patrick Stewart back. They've got so many things that they could do with a character that is rarely beloved. They've even now have Seven of Nine, who's part of the crew,
and in a relationship that came out of nowhere.
Yeah,
a relationship.
Yeah, it'll. I hope they explain it. Or
I did not like that last episode.
The last part of the last episode, they did really wash things really fast. So, like, if they're doing that, it better be, like, at least explained somewhere. Otherwise, like, well, if they just kind of throw it at us again in the new season without really any explanation, I think that's going to be a misstep.
Well, Kevin, for season two, there's going to be a new showrunner, yeah, so...
Who knows? Keith, you said you had something you wanted to say about the show?
I'm sort of in between you two. I thought the show was entertaining... But I agree with Andrew. Half the characters were garbage. And, none of the characters had any story arc. Like,
oh.
Except for the except for the android girl.
Yeah, basically.
None of them grew at all. They were all crappy characters to begin with, and they stayed crappy throughout. And I don't even know why that girl doctor is still part of their crew.
Yeah, I still don't get that either.
I absolutely agree with you on that one. What the hell is she still doing there? And then that's another one where it's just like, what do you mean she has a relationship with the captain? And it's like, ugh. And I don't mean Picard. I mean the captain of the La Serena.
Yeah, that too. Oh, God. I mean, I get that. They were sort of setting it up. But also, I don't get... Like, I mean, I get it. Like, he's hot. But, like, also, I don't get how they're together. It's so weird. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Like, I get it on her end, but, like, ugh.
I found it entertaining. I wouldn't call it a Star Trek show. Like, nothing about it screams Star Trek to me.
I mean, they are trekking. They're trekking through to get the thing that they need to do. So, like, in that aspect, it's a lot more trekking than a good part of what Deep Space Nine was at first, where it's like, we're just stationary. Yeah,
but also hyperspace exists now.
Well, we've already known that a lot of the technologies that were taken from after the Voyager things were integrated, and it is known that the Federation did become more militaristic because of all the like huge events that occurred to them, like almost one thing after another. So that also makes sense as well between the Dominion and the Borg. But, like, it's actually kind of crazy where we are getting into a world where now it's almost too much of an extreme. And it's gone to the point where, like, oh, well, we're so scared about these things, we have to, like, sabotage this thing. And then everyone, like, lockdown, that's it, too bad. No utopia anymore. Federation is no longer a utopian state or government.
Like, how many planets in all the other Star Treks where they got attacked and people died, and now, like, some androids blow up one mining factory, and all of a sudden, oh, you can't have a single android ever? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Oh, no. There's so many nitpicks. How did that Romulan get so high in Starfleet? How? There's so many nitpicks with the show. Like, don't even, like, start going down that route. Like, why are the Romulans right? Like, they are actually correct. Like, they are right to do what they are about to do. Like, you get to the end of the story and they're like, wait, so they were right to want to genocide these people? Spoilers, by the way. So, it's like, okay.
Well, they were, yes and no, you know, like, the way they went about doing it was wrong, but their reasoning behind it was right.
Which is okay, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just, like, okay, we'll put it this way. Xavier, for context, remember Age Season Part 3?
Yeah.
You remember how when Flit was about to, like, nuke the Vadans? Vagans?
Veganzo. Yep.
And you were like, and I agreed with you. It's like, I totally agreed with Flit in that decision.
Yeah.
That's sort of what happens at the end of the show.
Fantastic.
It's basically,
you're telling me that Star Trek Picard is the Age Part 3 of Star Trek. Wonderful.
Except for better written and less whiny little bitches, and he doesn't sell his secrets to the enemy to help save a girl who dies anyway.
Wait. That's not what the first episode or the first two episodes of Star Trek Picard was?
Oh, shit, you're right. Oh, it is! Oh, no!
Now, there's one important question you guys forgot to bring up. What's Riker's pizza skills
like? Oh, awful. Doesn't he burn the pizza?
Yeah.
Exactly. He screws it up. I love how they made such a big deal about it. And they're like, oh, look, I'm going to make homemade pizza. And you have to have this specific sausage because blah, blah, blah reasons. And then he fucks up one of the pizzas. It's like, oh, good job. Like, you suck.
Yeah, but he's sort of like, at one point, doesn't he say something like, do you really think I want to stay here and make pizzas while you go out on adventures?
Spoilers coming. And then,
anyway, let's move on. Watch the show. I won't say don't watch it. I still enjoyed I watched it with a friend. I still enjoyed watching it. I rolled my eyes a whole bunch.
No, I think it's probably like every episode.
Xavier,
you
if you want to watch it without watching it, just watch the Red Letter Media. That they're more or less in sync with
already
my
done.
You got all the information you needed to know from Star Trek Picard. It's pretty hilarious. Yeah. That I like watching those videos because I'm like, yeah, I pretty much agree with that point. And I don't always agree with them, but you know. But
I think the love story between Data and Captain Picard was interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And you know they were planning something special for episode 9 and 10.
Is there any last things? I have one last thing I want to talk about. Is there anything you guys want to talk about before we go into that?
I sort of wanted to mention that for the coronavirus at the Times, there are a lot of, like, as you know, I like drag queens. We already talked about RuPaul. But there are a lot of local queens doing a lot of cool free shows every... Pretty much you could watch a free show on like Facebook Live or YouTube or Twitch every single night. They ask for tips, but I get more enjoyment watching all the technical errors. There have been so many shows that I'm watching, and because everyone's just Skyping in, you know, like there was one queen that Skyped in and did an entire lip sync but forgot to turn on the microphone, so there was no sound, like no music, nothing. There's a bunch where, like, the thing will end, and then it'll cut back to the host, and the host has forgotten to unmute her mic. Or, like, while they go cut to someone else, the host forgets to mute her mic, so she's talking through the other person's lip sync until, like, someone points it out. Mm-hmm. And so it's really fun, A, to watch people who have never done these things before learn how hard it is to actually do decent sound, fixing the mic, and actually getting the mics on and off at the right times. And then you also get to see some drag queens filming from home. And, like, some drag queens put in so much effort, and other queens are like, I put on makeup and I'm going to sit on my bed and pretend that this is the world. But if you want to be entertained, you could probably find a free drag show every night. And if you want to send them bucks, that's good too.
Support your local drag scene.
Yeah. Or, like, anyone. There's free concerts going on. Lots of musicians are doing live streams. So, like, you know, talk to your friends. Do a podcast. Listen to us.
Cause some difficulties and audio issues, and it'll be funny.
Oh, did you just cut off on purpose, Kevin?
Yes, of course.
What are you talking about?
Of course he did. Anyway... I'm going to actually skip what I was actually going to say about Community. I started rewatching Community. It ended up back on Canadian Netflix this week, or week and a half ago or two. It's still good. It still holds up. I'm watching season one again. I'm having fun with it. So it's a lot of fun. Definitely check it out. In the Animal Crossing group chat we have going on for the people playing, I wrote a line that Ali used to say all the time. What was it? Bing bong sing along. Your name's Al Gore because your views are wrong. And Ali just lost his shit in chat. It was pretty hilarious because he used to say that all the time. I think even on this podcast at points. Maybe that I cut it out. So that was fun. But I really want to talk about this new Sentai show that came out called Mashin Sentai Kira Major. It is hilarious. It is stupid. It is anniversary season. It is campy. It is dumb. It is lots of fun. It is ridiculous, and it looks really cool, and I am loving the shit out of it, and it's just fun, and it actually managed to tell some decent stories for a kids show. So yeah, if you want to check out the new Sentai, and if you've been burnt out on Sentai recently, definitely check out Mashin Sentai Kira Major. We don't know what's going to happen because it's currently still, like, they're on hiatus filming, but they filmed all the way up through May. But with the whole thing going on, we don't know what's going to happen with the show after that. So it might just mean, like, all these shows are getting, like, the new seasons are going to just all get shifted. They're still going to do the required episodes, but everything just got shifted by a bunch of months. So hopefully it's just that. I hope they don't do a shortened season because that would suck. But otherwise, it is a fun show. And if you want to check out, the first 4 or 5 episodes are out, and I am loving it. It's so ridiculous, and their transformation sequence is stupid, and their roll call is so dumb, and I love it. So anything else you guys want to talk about?
No, I think that wraps up a lot.
All good.
Perfect. So, So join us in our last segment where we'll be giving you the info. That was an episode of Geeking Out at the Tower podcast where we talked about a whole bunch of things that we were watching, doing, seeing, talking, all that fun stuff over the last couple of weeks and maybe months. Well, definitely not months since you've last heard a podcast. So, yeah, that was fun. How did you guys like this little experiment of recording on Discord?
It's not bad. I'd be interested to see how the whole episode goes through, but I'm excited to do a few more and see where this takes us.
It was back to 2010 for me, the good old days.
God, you were like 15. Damn, you started podcasting young.
I was 15, 16 when I started doing podcasts. I've been in this podcasting business for a long time.
God.
You want a medal? You want a medal?
Yeah, I'm sure Amazon can ship a medal.
Please,
is that essential?
No. First, the podcast has to die so that Mas Kanata can give him the medal that he deserved. Back in the movie.
That's a Star Wars The Last Jedi joke.
No, Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, right. That's the joke.
God, that movie.
Remember Rise of Skywalker?
We already talked about that one extensively and how.
Remember Rise of Skywalker?
I know. It was. Oh, God. It felt like, honestly, this year has felt like we've lived like 5 years in the last 4 months. Not even 4 months yet. So hopefully like this year picks up the pace a little and like not in the bad way.
I can feel my eyeballs twitching. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So as usual, you can find us on Twitter at GOATTcast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/GOATTcast. You can also find us on Instagram at GOATTpodcast, soon to be GOATTcast. I just have to wait 2 weeks for the other one to let me do it. You can also find us on YouTube, search Geeking Out at the Tower podcast. We're going to be putting up a whole bunch of videos in the coming weeks, so check it out. It's not going to be the videos in the typical sense, but if you want some good background audio videos, we got you covered. Don't forget, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching Geeking Out at the Tower podcast. We are on iTunes. How am I putting this up on YouTube? On iTunes. I'll figure it out later. That's what the fun part of this.
Are we on Google Play Music, actually?
We are. We're on Google Play as well. Or all your podcasts. You know, we're on all the podcast catchers. Google Play.
Even Spotify?
Maybe. I know my anime podcast is on Spotify, but I don't know about this one. But we're on a lot of them. We're on Stitcher and all that kind of stuff. Man, someone's typing up like a motherfucker. And yeah, don't forget to find that information on our website at www.goattcast.com. Also, don't forget to check out the sister podcast to this podcast, Recovery of an Anime Junkie Podcast. I haven't released an episode in a while, but we're definitely releasing one in the near future. Maybe we'll see. Let's do it. Why not? You can find that at roaajcast.com, and you can find it by searching Recovery of an Anime Junkie on iTunes, Stitcher. That one's on Spotify, Google Play, and all your podcast catchers. It's probably there somehow. And don't forget, you can find the hosts of this podcast on Twitter, if they're still on Twitter, or Instagram, if they want to use that instead. I'm at FrigimonFanatic on both Twitter and Instagram. Keith?
I'm at QueerGamer69 on Twitter.
Kevin?
Twitter?
Or Instagram, do you have one?
No.
Peter?
I'm not on Twitter anymore, but I'm on Instagram and Twitch as, not Peter, but Panagiostic. So I can spell that for you. That's PanagiOstic. Just type that in on Instagram or Twitter. Oh, not Twitter, but Twitch.
All right. Make sure to send that to me in chat so I can add it to the description. Sure. And Xavier, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter on Crimson_Sananju, and you can find me on Steam under Cooking Xenomama. And fuck Instagram. That's what I say.
Awesome. Don't forget, you can find Wendell on Twitter at JawsD. J-A-W-Z-D.
Who's that guy?
That's Wendell. He's been on a few episodes in the past.
You might know him. Episode?
Huh?
Is he on this episode?
No, but I still plug people who are active. Sheesh.
Did you say Wendell?
Why the hate for Wendell, Keith?
Because he didn't show up.
Well, he couldn't today because he has other friends, obviously.
Ugh, disgusting.
I know, he's the worst. How dare he have other friends? We should be his only
friend. Yeah, don't mention him, then fuck him.
Oh,
wow. Speaking of things and people saying fuck anywhere.
What?
Anything else you guys want to plug?
You could finish plugging Wendell. Nope. It's okay.
Okay, so check out Wendell's podcast, Transformer Slag, and also friends of the podcast, Franklin Armstrong Collective. So, yeah, and don't forget, you can find most of this on our website, goattcast.com. But follow us on Facebook.
It gets better. Isn't it .wordpress.com?
No. We have the full... I paid for that. I paid for the domain.
Oh, okay.
Yo, it better still be fucking goattcast.com.
And hopefully soon the YouTube one will be fully operational.
Oh, and we won't get anything special until we get at least 50 or 100 subscribers, which is not happening anytime soon.
So, well, you got 50 friends. Just make them watch it.
No, they have to subscribe.
So?
I barely have 100 people subscribe to the podcast.
You had like 700 people at your birthday party.
I had like 10 this year because of COVID. Before it got crazy. Anyway, anything you guys want? Any last words?
Stay safe, everyone, and just send us some emails and some messages, and we'll be glad to go over different topics as we move forward through
goattcast@gmail.com. That's where you can
remember, folks. If you want to wear a mask, that's okay, and don't speak too moistly.
Perfect.
And wash your hands.
Yes, wash your hands.
Thoroughly.
Thanks for listening and have a good time, but also make sure you wash your fucking hands.
Remember, when you meet new people, throw them into a car wash.
All right.